Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. I'm kind of excited because I just looked at the message we're going to look at tonight, and it's one of my favorite messages. And I don't know, maybe some of you, I don't know who all was here when this message came through. I know Dove was. I don't know if anyone else was, but I know Dove was around when this message came through. And I think that he'll definitely remember it, is my guess. He'll definitely remember it, and maybe some others will remember it too. We're looking at November 2006 on reginadonacres.com. And actually, the message we're going to look at tonight is the message that, you know, you guys may have heard this. Love is giving through Spirit, to Spirit, that which Spirit requests. The message we're going to look at tonight is the message that had this definition in it. So I'm kind of excited. It's a lot of fun. Let me give you a link. Here's a link to a page on reginadonacres.com, November 2006. And when you get there, what you're going to want to do is scroll down to February, November 24th, a message called, Is Attack Possible? Love is. Yeah, that's it. That's it. So this is a pretty cool message. I'm excited to read it again. I haven't read it. I mean, I certainly remember that line, but I haven't read this message in full in at least a couple of years. So, yep, the link again. Sure, Barb, here you go. There you go. Hello, Bill.
Hi.
Bill's learning how to get in and out of the house without a key now.
He
comes in the back door, which apparently we don't ever lock. Because Bill just comes walking in. Okay, so what I'm going to do then is say a prayer. So I'm going to close my eyes, and anyone who wants to join me, please do. Holy Spirit, I am grateful for your guidance. I'm grateful for all of your teaching. I'm also grateful for your reminders. I want to say encouragement also. Your reminders, your encouragement to practice what we teach. I am really, really, really grateful to have you in my mind, in my thoughts, as I am relearning who I am by unlearning who I am not. So I just want to say thank you. And I remember the message that we're looking at tonight is a significant message in my personal awakening. And I want to thank you, A, for the message, but B, for any additional clarity or any revived clarity that comes tonight as we look at this message. It is a very important message. It was a turning point for me. And I'm highly grateful. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start by just telling you a story. It's a story that many of you kind of may know because it was a public story. You may remember when about the time Your Immortal Reality came out, Gary Renard's, I believe, most recent book. I don't think there's been another one since then, but I could be wrong. You'll remember when Your Immortal Reality came out, there was a little bit of a, hello, David. There was a little bit of a controversy that occurred. In John Mundy's Miracle Magazine, John and Robert Perry, and I believe Greg Mackey was a third person, posted some articles within John's magazine that I will just say did not share faith in Gary's experience with Artin and Persa. They seemed to feel that they were certain that something was wrong. I don't remember if they said exactly what was wrong. Either maybe Gary had imagined Artin or Persa, or maybe he had made them up. I don't remember if there were any direct accusations like that, but I do remember some kind of proof statements, supposedly of proof that Artin and Persa did not exist. And that kind of started a lively a lively time in our Course in Miracles family. And at that particular time, I happened to be on the Disappearance of the Universe Yahoo group. I only was on that Yahoo group like 3 or 4 months. I wasn't on there very long, but I was on there during this period of time. And of course, on that Yahoo group especially, like the topic was this controversy that was going on between John Robert Gregg and Gary. And on that particular group, of course, you know, the people on that particular group obviously were fond of Gary, or at least the vast majority of them, or they would not have been on the group. So the perspective, this general perspective on that group seemed to be that John and Robert and Gregg unfairly attacked Gary. And there was lots of just everybody was putting in their thoughts about this. But what was interesting is all these emails, all these posts were coming through. My eyes kept landing on that word attack. And every time I was reading one of these posts and my eyes would land on the word attack, I would hear a little voice in the back of my head saying, no. You know, so I'd be reading, and somebody else would, you know, comment on what they perceived as an attack. And then I would hear, no. And this happened, the way I remember it now, for it seemed like quite a few messages. I don't remember if it was just one day. I want to say it was probably more like 2 or 3 days, but I don't remember. But quite a few messages where I kept having this experience of seeing the word attack and then hearing no. And finally, I just had the thought I should ask Holy Spirit, is attack possible? Because I felt like the no was trying to tell me no, like there's no such thing as attack. You know, just no, that's not possible. It's not possible for John and Robert and Gregg to attack Gary because there's no such thing as attack. So I did. I went to Holy Spirit and I simply asked that question, is attack possible? And what we're going to look at now is the message that I received. And I'm very, very grateful for this message because, as I mentioned, it was really a turning point for me. I'm posting the link again now. And when you open this link, it will take you to reginadonacres.com. And when you get there, you can just scroll down to Friday, November 24th, 2006, and you will see a message titled, Is Attack Possible? And that's the message we're going to look at, and I hope you all enjoy it. Okay, so here is the answer from Holy Spirit when I asked, is attack possible? No. Which you guys probably expected that from Holy Spirit, right? Okay, so Holy Spirit says, no. Attack is not possible because all thought is shared. Each one receives as he has asked to receive through his thought. Therefore, no one is ever attacked, and only his request is answered. And this first paragraph is certainly not a surprise if you have studied A Course in Miracles or if you have studied NTI. And yet, even though this first paragraph is not a surprise, I do know that this is not the first thought that Course students accept as true. And by that I mean we may get it intellectually, but in our daily living, if someone seems to possibly even mildly criticize us, we may still feel attacked. And if we feel attacked, it really does mean that we believe in attack. We couldn't possibly feel attacked unless we believed in it. I mean, that's just the way it is. So although we may have an intellectual understanding, we don't have what I'm going to call the heart understanding, or at least most of us don't. And what's really helpful for me about this message is this message really began to lead to the heart understanding for me. So again, no, Holy Spirit says, attack is not possible because all thought is shared. Each one receives as he has asked to receive through his thought. Therefore, no one is ever attacked, and only his request is answered. Within perception, attack is a misperception of your experience. It is a misperception of what you believe you are doing and a misperception of that which you experience as being done. It is always misperception and never fact. I notice a couple of people have popped into the room, so I will give the link again. We are reading from a message called Is Attack Possible? When you open this link, you will need to scroll down to it. And I'm going to begin reading the third paragraph now. Holy Spirit says, I ask you to let go of attack thoughts, not because they are attack, but because they block true perception from your sight. As you believe in attack, you cannot see love because you believe love is attack. I'm going to read that sentence again. I can feel that one in my heart. That's where the little came from. But I'm going to read the sentence again. As you believe in attack, you cannot see love because you believe love is attack. Now, if anyone does not understand this sentence, this sentence refers back to the first paragraph where it said, all thought is shared. Each one has asked to receive through thought, and only his request is answered. Now, if I look back to NTI Romans chapter 2, NTI Romans chapter 2 talks about the experience that, again, A Course in Miracles calls the tiny mad idea. But the way NTI Romans chapter 2 talks about it is it says that we had an idea that we would like to experience something different than our reality. And it was the following of this idea that has brought us into the illusion. And the illusion, or what we call the world, is literally the answer to that idea. It is the answer to what it would be like if everything was different from reality. And we know that in the Course, Jesus calls the ego upside down or upside down thinking. And that's because it's completely opposite of our truth, seemingly. Completely opposite of our truth. The experience of the world is the experience of what it would be like if everything was different than our truth. Now, many of us, maybe without understanding how, if not all of us, continue to echo that same tiny mad idea through the process of our thoughts, through the process of our experience in the world, through what we believe in the mind, through how we judge our experience. We continue to wish for something different than truth. Or it could be worded that we continue to want to experience ourselves as separate, as individual. Or it could be also word that we continue to want to judge. And what this means is we are literally continuing to pray a prayer that says, I want to experience something different from my reality. And we, many of us, pray this prayer fairly constantly, because the truth is we aren't even aware of how we're praying the prayer, which NTI does a pretty good job of teaching us that so that we can begin to change our mind. But we are doing that. Now, love, as it says in the first paragraph, love is when we are given what we are asked for. Love says, the first paragraph says that only our request is answered. That we ask through thought to receive, and only our request is answered. So when we ask through thought to receive the experience of being separate, you know, to be able to exercise that seemingly individual will, that my own authority, my own right to judge, then what happens is the universe as a whole hears our prayer and gladly answers us. Everything we ask for is given. So when a brother steps forward and seems to attack us, what is really happening is that is a continued answer to our request for an experience that is different than our truth, or a continued answer for our request to experience ourselves as separate, as different. Yeah, it's the same as the responsibility for sight section. And because we are the one that is making the request, and in fact, I would submit that we make the request a heck of a lot more than we are aware of. Since we are the one making the request, when the request is answered, that is love. We are being given exactly as we ask. So if we look at this second sentence in this third paragraph again, the second sentence says, as you believe in attack, you cannot see love because you believe love is attack. So if my brother criticizes me and I perceive that as an attack, I'm choosing to see separation, where in reality, through our oneness, I've made a request for the experience of separation, and through our oneness, an opportunity for that belief, for that experience is being given. That is not an attack. That is love. But if I choose to see it as an attack, which I probably will, because that was my request in the first place, that experience of separation, I will see it as an attack, and I will be totally blind to the love. You can only see one or the other, obviously. That should be very clear. You cannot see both. So if I am choosing attack, choosing to see attack, choosing to feel that my brother is attacking me, then I cannot see love. And if I cannot see love, I am also simultaneously totally unaware of our truth. If any of you were here last night, you know we talked in a very fun way about what we are is the process of creation that is God. And I haven't posted that yet, but I will post that later. We talked about the fact that we are the process of creation that is God. This message is talking about that same idea. That same idea. And we do not see that we are that process. That everything we are being given is exactly what we've asked for. That it's a perfect and unflawed process. We do not see that if we choose to see attack. So that choice to see attack is like a veil that we are pulling down over our truth, and we're completely blinding ourselves to our truth, and now we're blaming someone else for being our enemy or for being unfair to us or whatever words we choose. Okay, I'm going to go back to the third paragraph then. I'm going to start at the top of the paragraph. Holy Spirit says, I ask you to let go of attack thoughts, not because they are attack, but because they block true perception from your sight. As you believe in attack, you cannot see love because you believe love is attack. Love is not attack. Okay, here we go, guys. I just got chills knowing here comes this sentence. But here we go. This is where it was originally written. Love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. Love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. Now, one thing I love about this sentence is that it is a completely non-dual sentence. Notice that what we give through is spirit. What we give to is spirit. And what we are giving is what spirit asks for. Spirit, spirit, spirit. One word. No duality. It is not one doing unto another. It is happening through what we are, the process of creation that is God. Perfect oneness, operating exactly the way it was created to work, without a single flaw. Love is giving through Spirit to Spirit that which Spirit requests. This giving is never given consciously, as consciousness is the domain of the ego. This giving is natural and outside of the domain of the ego, so that it is without any conscious involvement at all. In other words, although we have the ability to intellectually understand this, and we have the ability to think about this, and we have the ability to question, like, I wonder why I said that to him. Well, maybe I said that to him because of this and this. We have all that thinking ability. The truth is, we are operating. What we are doing, what we are saying, we are operating based on a communication that is moving us, that is outside of our conscious awareness. We may feel a prompt. We may feel a prompt to say something, or we may feel a prompt not to say anything, or we may feel a prompt to go here or to go there. But the total understanding of why that prompt is giving and what it means is always outside of our conscious awareness. The truth is, we just don't know. We just don't know. But what's interesting is, we are always, and I highlight the word always, we are always giving. In fact, in NTI somewhere, it says something about, do not worry that you do not love your brother, because you can't do anything but love your brother. And some of us may say, well, heck, I know I don't love that person. I've been working on it, you know. I've been working really hard on it, but I know that I don't love that person. Well, if we happen to say that, we're talking about emotions. We're talking about thoughts. We're talking about what's going on within consciousness. Consciousness says, I don't love that person. This is talking about what's outside of consciousness. This is talking about a level of connection that consciousness is completely unaware of. And this says we are always, 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 always giving what our brother is asking for, and it's impossible for us to do anything else. Impossible. Love is giving through Spirit to Spirit that which Spirit requests. We are the process of creation that is God. We are completely inseparable from this. NTI also calls this the law of love in Ephesians. NTI Ephesians refers to this as the law of love. It says you're not under the law. It says you are the law. you are the law. That's what you are. See, we can't not be what we are. It's impossible. So we are always in this process. We are always being this process. We are always being moved by this process. Everything we do comes from this process. No matter how we feel at a conscious level about our brother, or how our brother feels about us, everything is always perfect love. And it can't be anything but that. Isn't that amazing? This is why we're told that we're not guilty. How could we possibly be guilty under this law or this fact of what we are and how we operate? I remember once that Holy Spirit told me I was perfect. And if some of you have heard this story before, then you know that I didn't really like that message very well. Because I couldn't possibly understand how this imperfect person, this imperfect body was perfect. In fact, at first I even doubted the message was from Holy Spirit. I thought it must be ego. But that was only because I did not understand at that time how Holy Spirit sees. I did not realize that when Holy Spirit looked at me, Holy Spirit saw what we are. I was looking at a separated human. Holy Spirit was looking at what we are, how we function together, how we operate, and it's absolutely perfect. There has never, for an instant, been a single flaw in it. We asked for, as one, an experience of separation. We asked for, as one, an experience that is different than our reality. You know, behold, this is it. And we're so damn perfect in how we continue to give it to one another. We operate perfectly. We've never been broken for a single solitary second. Nothing has ever been wrong. So again, Holy Spirit says, I ask you to let go of attack thoughts, not because they are attack. Do you see? They're not attack. We're not letting go of attack thoughts because they're wrong. We're not letting go of attack thoughts because we're these bad creatures that are attacking our brother or attacking God, because that's impossible. But he asks us to let go of our attack thoughts simply because they block our true perception. In other words, what we are missing out on by continuing to believe our own attack thoughts is the absolute beauty of what we are. In NTI, I believe it's in NTI Luke, Holy Spirit is beginning the lesson in NTI of asking us to let go of our judgments. And NTI says, you may not understand why you should let go of some of your judgments. For example, some of your judgments may seem perfectly justified. And again, some of those great examples of judgments that seem perfectly justified are examples of child abuse, child rape, you know, animal abuse, murder, you know, and I'm sure I could make a longer list. But you guys get the idea. It seems perfectly justified to judge these things that at the human level seem obviously wrong. And so Holy Spirit says in NTI Luke, you may not understand at first why you should give up some of your judgments. And then Holy Spirit says, but, you know, your judgments are blocking you from seeing the beauty of the Son of God. And he says, you know, can you give your willingness, now that I've told you this, can you give your willingness to let go of your judgments because you want to see the beauty of the Son of God? Can that desire to see your beauty be strong enough in you that you will willingly lay down even the judgments that you can't quite understand why you should lay them down? And that's really what he's saying here again. He's saying, I ask you to let go of attack thoughts, not because they are attack, but because they block true perception from your sight. You cannot see the perfection. You cannot see the beauty. You cannot see the love if you choose to hold on to those thoughts. So it's kind of, what do you want? Do you want to continue to see the world you're seeing now? Or are you ready to see anew?
I'm ready to see anew.
So again, I ask you to let go of attack thoughts, not because they are attack, but because they block true perception from your sight. As you believe in attack, you cannot see love because you believe love is attack. Love is not attack. Love is giving through Spirit, to Spirit, that which Spirit requests. This giving is never given consciously, as consciousness is the domain of the ego. This giving is natural. Hear that word, natural? You can't not do it. This giving is natural, and outside of the domain of the ego, so that it is without any conscious involvement at all. Because it's without any conscious involvement at all, not, you know, you can't make a decision not to do it. That's impossible. You cannot make a decision not to do it. You aren't even aware of how you're doing it. So again, like NTI says, you don't have to worry, you know, about whether you love your brother or not. You cannot do anything but love your brother. And it's referring to this definition of love when it says that. It's not referring to what you think about your brother or how you emotionally feel about your brother. It is saying you are always a part of this process. All you can give is love. But NTI does go on to say, you may not be aware of your love for your brother. And that, of course, is because of the obstacles or the blocks to love's presence. Remember, A Course in Miracles says something about that, some little idea that it is our job to remove the blocks or the obstacles to love's presence. Doesn't that imply that love is always, always present? And isn't that what this message is telling us as well? It's always present. We are always a part of it. We cannot be separate. We cannot not do it. We can never decide not to love. It is absolutely impossible. In fact, look at the next paragraph. Love cannot stop. It can't. Ah, what a wonderful, wonderful idea, huh? Love cannot stop. But love can be misperceived if you believe in attack. In order to see love's reflection through true perception, you must be willing to let go of all perception of attack. I'm going to read that sentence again. In order to see love's reflection through true perception, you must, I highlight the word must. Some people tell me they don't like that word. But I don't think these words are in here for any reason other than it's like, if you want this, then you must do that. It doesn't mean you must do it. It only means you must do it if you want this. Okay, so if you want true perception, you must do this. But you don't have to do it. It's just you're not going to get true perception otherwise. So in order to see love's reflection through true perception, you must, what must you do? Be willing. You must be willing to let go of all perception of attack. In fact, it says you must be willing, then it says to let go. So it's not saying in order to have true perception, you must not ever think an attack thought again. In fact, that would be an impossible request for us, I think. The attack thoughts just show up. They just show up. So if he said, you must, you know, in order to see true perception, you must not ever think an attack thought again, probably most of us would just be totally screwed. But that's not what he's saying. He is saying you must. There is a must in there. But he's saying you must be willing. And then he says to let go. Well, if I'm letting go, doesn't that mean that the perception showed up? Right? So somebody says something to me, and the first perception I have is my, I'm being attacked. You know, I'm being attacked. But then if I want to see love's reflection through true perception, I say, wait a minute. I need to be willing to let go of this perception. I need to be willing to see differently. Holy Spirit, I rest my mind. I step back. I look at these thoughts. I see the perception of attack in my mind. I trust that we are one. I trust that everything is perfect. I know that I have asked for this perception, because I know I've thought attack thoughts before. And I realize that whenever I think attack thoughts, I'm actually asking for the perception of attack. My God, there's no way I can deny that I've asked for this. Ah, I see what this is. This is a perfect reflection of what's been in my mind. I'm being given what I've asked. Oh my God, it's not attack. And just like that, you're free. But in order to be free, you have to take that first step of being willing to let go. If you're not willing to let go, if you absolutely want to hold on to the belief that that person criticized you, you can, but you will not see love's reflection through true perception. You will hide it. You will believe in attack and not seeing love. Remember the sentence we read above. As you believe in attack, you cannot see love because you believe love is attack. So we've really got a choice. So love cannot stop, but love can be misperceived if you believe in attack. In order to see love's reflection through true perception, you must be willing to let go of all perception of attack. And then he says, remember this. When you believe you are attacking or have attacked, right? Because it can happen either way. I can feel guilty as hell because I just said a mean thing to a friend of mine. Oh my God, I attacked her. If I think, oh my God, I attacked her, I'm believing an attack, right? Or if I think, oh shit, she's attacking me. Whether I think it's unfair or deserved, doesn't matter. I'm still seeing attack. So when you believe you are attacking or have attacked, oh, I attacked somebody yesterday, right? I remember what I said yesterday. It was so mean. I never should have said that, okay? So if I believe I am attacking or I have attacked, look what he says next. You are completely wrong. Give this misperception to me that you may see differently. So again, we're not talking about denial here. We're talking about saying, oh my God, I feel so guilty for what I said to her yesterday or what I just said to her a second ago. I should not have said that. As soon as you hear that thought, I should not have said that. You're actually in misperception. I should not have said that. I was wrong. I attacked her. I was mean. You are in misperception is what he's saying. You're wrong. You're wrong. You can't ever do anything. It's impossible for you to do anything outside of the oneness of what we are. It's impossible for you to ever give in any way other than you've been asked to give. You are wrong. But, the fact that you feel this way about what you said or what you did is evidence that you believe in attack. And you're not going to see the truth as long as you hold on to that belief. So Holy Spirit is saying, when you notice that you feel that you have attacked someone or that you are attacking someone, stop. Realize I've said that you're wrong. Trust me more than your own perception and judgment of what you're doing. And give that misperception to me and ask that you can see differently. Be willing to let go of all perception of attack. In order to see love's reflection, is that what you want? In order to see love's reflection everywhere, in you and in everyone else and in everything, in order to see love's reflection through true perception, you must be willing to let go of all perception of attack. So when you believe that you are attacking or have attacked, you're the attacker. You're the guilty one. You are completely wrong. Stop. Be willing to let go of that perception of attack. That's what you must do if you want to see love's reflection. If you are not willing to let go of the perception that you attacked, if you choose to hold on to your guilt and self-judgment instead, then you will not see love's reflection through true perception. What is your choice? What do you want more? And I know you guys know this too, but I know It is not easy. It should be, maybe. But it is not easy to let go of self-judgment. If something happened and I was about, and I screamed at one of you guys, if I lost it on one of you, that letting go of my self-judgment, of myself for having done that, takes a lot of faith and trust in Holy Spirit, because every cell of my body is yelling at me, telling me how guilty I am for what I just said to you. And in order to practice what Holy Spirit is asking us to practice, I really have to trust Holy Spirit more than my mind, my thoughts, my feelings, my experience. I have to trust Holy Spirit more. That takes faith. And that faith is driven by an absolute desire to see love only. In order to see love's reflection through true perception, you must be willing to let go of all perception of attack. When you believe you are attacking or have attacked, you are completely wrong. Give this misperception to me that you may see differently. Now here's the second thing he asks us to remember. That was only the first one. Are you ready? Okay, Debbie says she's ready. Here we go. When you believe you are attacked, you are 100% wrong. Give this misperception to me that you may see differently. So when I'm yelling at you, when I forget who I am for a time and I am screaming at you, I then have to let go of my belief that I attacked you. But simultaneously, you need to be letting go of your belief that I attacked you. You see, we both have a job to do. I see Monica's name last on the board, so I'm going to use Monica as an example. I scream at Monica. She catches me on a really bad day, and I just lose it on her. I immediately feel guilty for what I've done because I think I attacked her, and she's immediately, Regina attacked me. She's immediately caught up in that. She never expected that from me, right? We both have to do the same thing. Two sides of the same coin, we both have the same job. I have to let go of my perception that I attacked her. She has to let go of her perception that I attacked her. We both have the same job. Because in order to see love's reflection through true perception, you must be willing to let go of all perception of attack. It doesn't matter whether I perceive myself on the giving end of the attack or perceive myself on the receiving end of the attack. If I am perceiving attack, I am wrong. If I am perceiving attack, I am wrong, right? As you believe in attack, you cannot see love because you believe love is attack. I'm completely hiding the truth from myself. And if I want to see the truth, then I have to be willing to give the misperception to Holy Spirit. When you believe you are attacked, you are 100% wrong. Give this misperception to me that you may see differently. All right. Actually, Steve has his hand up, so before I go to the third thing we're asked to remember, I'm going to turn the mic over to Steve. Here you go, Steve.
Gotta hit the buttons with my palm of my hand or the heel of my hand, because right now the my fingers have a little bit of chicken in them. But yeah, but the important thing for me is to realize in that too. I mean, I heard what you said, and a part of it's right. But the Way of Mastery, MTI, and the Course in Miracles also say that the other person doesn't have to receive the miracle until they're ready. So, like the Way of Mastery says in MTI, you can forgive, and the Course in Miracles, you can forgive at any one time. The other person has the seeming free will to accept that forgiveness, that miracle, any time. But for me, you know, 99.999% of the miracle is my doing the forgiveness work with the Holy Spirit and asking to see it differently and turning it over. the other person has a free will, seemingly, since really there is no free will, but if in the dream, within the dream, it says they have the free will to accept that forgiveness opportunity or that miracle, that holy instant, whenever they so choose, and the Holy Spirit will save it or hold it for them until they're ready. So for me, you know, 99.999% of what I have to do is in my mind, and whether the other person seems to be willing to accept it at the time basically makes no difference. At least that's in my limited understanding of it. You know, it's like the vast majority of it's going on in my mind, just like he says in The Way of Mastery. Well, what if that kid that you kicked when he was 3 years old or 4 years old, you kicked him just to watch him cry, you know? He said that no matter if that kid's there or not, basically the forgiveness is just forgiving the thought in the mind. So whether the other person seems to accept it in their, they can do that in their own time and fashion, as far as I understand it. So maybe I don't understand it, but, you know, that's what it seems like it's saying to me. So thanks for letting me share. You know, the holy instant can come to both or either one, and with the other one, whenever they seem to be ready, I think. So thanks for letting me share. Here's the mic back. It's not a two-way street in the instant, necessarily. Right. What'd you say?
It's their job to do that, but it's not necessary. In other words, you both have the same job, but whether your brother does his job, quote-unquote, it doesn't matter. Your job is to do your job.
Right, yeah. My job is just to see where I've made a mistake and ask to see it differently, ask for a different perception, ask for forgiveness. So, thanks for letting me share. Here's the mic back. I don't usually look at the board while I'm sharing, but I'm giving the mic back. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, I heard Dorothy, and I think Dorothy understood where I was coming from. What I was referring to, Steve, I totally agree. If I go back to the example with Monica, I totally agree that Monica can continue to choose to believe that I attacked her. That's her free will. And I can choose to let go of the belief that I attacked her. That can still happen, and I may receive true perception. But Monica, by choosing to hold on to the belief that I attacked her, will be blocking it. So in my example, I was making an assumption that both Monica and I want true perception. I was making an assumption that Monica and I are joined in purpose. And, you know, in our sisterhood, I'm going to call it, there may have been a blip on the screen in our sisterhood where I lost it for a moment. But because we both have that same purpose, we both want true perception, we still both have now the same job to do. And each of us then are choosing to accept the atonement for ourselves. So I was assuming, again, that Monica and I share a purpose, that we both want true perception. And it's, you know, I don't think I ever will yell at her. But if I do, if I do, we both need to let go of the perception of attack. Yes.
Gina, I have a question. Is it possible, if somebody is open to it, to ask them, you know, in the midst of maybe they feel like they're being attacked or they're attacking you, to say something?
My answer to those questions are always the same. I choose not to think about those types of things or answer what-if questions. And the reason why is I think if we spend a lot of time on what-if questions, then in the moment we forget to ask Spirit. And in the inner Ramana teachings.
Stop attacking me, Regina.
Stop attacking Zoe. Yeah, in the inner Ramana teachings, Ramana says, and he speaks for all of Holy Spirit when he says this. He asks us to learn perfect surrender. That's what Ramana came to teach, or one of the things Ramana came to teach. And when he's talking about perfect surrender, one thing he asks us to do is to forget everything we thought we knew. And then he even says, even forget what I taught you. Okay? Because what happens is the intellectual mind or the ego grabs a hold of a spiritual teaching, and then in the moment, instead of asking for guidance in the moment, it goes into a memory bank and remembers a previous spiritual teaching, and it does that. And some great examples of spiritual teachings that we read, which are really guidelines as we're letting go of ego, they're guidelines, but like do not correct a brother, for example. You know? If we see that as a rule, and we don't ask in the moment, we may miss an opportunity to correct a brother that actually is open and does want to be corrected. So the idea is not to decide in advance in an imaginary way what we will do. Yeah, no what ifs, what we will do. It's better to ask within, and trust prompts.
Next prompt.
Yeah, next prompt.
Live in the now. In
yeah, live in everything in that way. Okay, you okay?
Thank you. Thank you for not attacking me.
You're welcome, Zoe. Now, Lisa, right here it says, with your permission, I would like to talk about the time I attacked you. Lisa, does that mean you want to take the mic now? I'm letting go of it so you can speak.
Hi, am I transmitting? Can you hear? Oh, good. Okay. I had this situation, and without getting into specific details, but I had this situation where I felt judged, and what I did was attacked the person judging me. I felt was judging me, which I thought, you know, which happened to be you, Regina. And I really feel like I let you have it. And what happened to me after that was that I had a lot of guilt about that. In fact, it was pretty intense. And a friend of mine said to me, "Oh my God, if you say that to her, how will you ever awaken? You know, how will you ever get rid of your stuff if you attack the person that helps you get rid of your stuff?" And so that pretty much paralyzed me for a little bit. And that sounded true. Like, but then I had this thought, like, wait a minute, somewhere I read that it's guaranteed that I'm going to wake up. It doesn't matter what I do, that eventually I will wake up. And what was really healing for me was that you didn't treat it as an attack. Maybe within yourself you had a reaction to my attack, my perceived attack on you, but you didn't respond to it. And what that taught me was that my attack was meaningless. My attack was really not an attack. And it completely discharged the whole episode for me. And it was a miracle. It was a huge lesson for me, and so I want to thank you for that. And there really is no such thing as attack. And the thing I needed to do was really forgive myself for what I did. And the other thing, the other piece of it for me was, if I think back about the original moment where I felt judged by you, I realized that my thing to do is go and see what in me seemed true about that belief. So I have to go and correct the misperception about myself that made me perceive what you said as an attack. So thank you for letting me talk.
Sharon, you know what, Lisa? I could be wrong about this, but that's the first time that I personally remember hearing you talk in Pal Talk. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've talked in Pal Talk before, but I don't know if I was around to enjoy it. So thank you. But yeah, since we're talking about,
attacking Regina.
No, since we're talking about how right now, assuming we have a shared goal to reach true perception, that both people on each side of the perceived attack have work to do, I'm going to go ahead and talk about my experience that night, Lisa, if that's okay. And I've talked about this with you, so this won't be news. There was a sting. It actually was a strongly worded email. And in fact, the people that were in the room knew I received an email from Lisa, and they saw the look on my face, and they asked what it was. And I told them I did not feel to read this email to them. And that was because of the sting. I felt it was better just to delete the email and not share it with anyone. So it was not shared. But I immediately went within because I did feel a sting. I guess I would say I did feel attacked, although the word attack was not the word that was on my mind. What I felt like, okay, this was the emotional feeling. What I felt like was that Lisa is a dear friend of mine, but that she didn't like me. So I felt not liked by someone that I loved, and it hurt. So here's what I did about that, okay, and this is what's important. I realized my perception was a misperception. If I was feeling hurt, I was wrong. Okay? This is what I took. And everyone here can tell you, I spent the rest of the evening saying within to myself, Lisa is not the one that hurt me. In fact, do you guys remember what the exact thing was I was saying that night? I was saying, Lisa is not the one that has hurt me. It is my perception that I'm not liked. Is that it? Or my desire to be liked, I think I was saying. I was saying, Lisa is not the one that is hurting me. It is my desire to be liked that is hurting me. And one thing that is really important about that means that A, I chose not to project and blame. If I had chose to project and blame, this could not have been healed. I chose to realize that my mind, my perception was what was hurting me, and nothing but my mind and my perception was hurting me. And I also knew, because I trust Holy Spirit so much now, I knew that when I let go of my desire to be liked, only my desire to be liked by Lisa was creating any kind of splinter in my perfect love for her. And I knew that when I let go of my desire to be liked, I would be absolutely not hurt at all. And it would not matter what Lisa said to me the next day, I would be there aware of both her love for me and my love for her. I knew the only reason I wasn't aware of her love for me and my love for her was because of this error thought in my mind that she had to act like she liked me. She had to say nice words and, you know, act the way friends are supposed to act. All these rules. So I spent all evening and literally all night. I think I even did this in my sleep, it seems like. By morning, I was completely healed. And it wasn't long, probably that same day, that actually Lisa wrote back and we ended up having a very nice discussion. In fact, the way I remember Lisa saying is that was one of the most helpful discussions we ever had. But what happened here, and as Steve said, it didn't have to happen. I could have been healed of my perception whether Lisa chose to look at hers or not. And Lisa could have been healed of her perception whether I chose to look at mine or not. But Lisa and I both made the same choice to look at the perception because we have the same goal. We both want to be healed. And that's my experience with most of my friends. Most of the people that are around me now because they want the same thing I want. And so if something does happen between us, we do both have work to do because we both have the same goal. And it is true, like I said, it is true that, you know, I could choose to do it and not Debbie, or Debbie could choose to do it and not me. But that's just not the way we are around here.
Hey, Regina.
Yeah.
Do you think you healed it all together?
The only way I know, Zoe, is for you to act like you don't like me. Storm out of the room
okay,
and we'll find
bitch.
Out. But, you know, what I just said is only partially a joke, because that is how we find out that we're healed of something. In fact, I got another quick story. Steve, I'll give the mic to you in a second. But one thing that I have told you guys on several occasions is that I am healed of the belief in rejection.
Right?
Yeah, and I've said that. Oh, this is why you asked. I said that. Well, Debbie, I'm going to talk about you for a second. She's cool. Debbie's cool with me talking about her. Okay, so Debbie, of course, is here because she's here to heal. And just like all of us, she's got a lot of stuff to heal. But one of the things that happens here is the majority of us that are here, we go places together and we eat together. Debbie tends to say no, although she has said yes for tonight.
Yes, birthday.
I told her we wrote it down in the captain's log that she's going with us tonight. But Debbie tends to say no. So we ask, I try to always ask. I try to always give her the invitation, but she almost always says no. And the truth is she's been here, what we said the other day, 5 months now. I've never once felt even an inkling or even the possibility of the thought crossing my mind that she was rejecting me. It never even occurred to me to think that. I just saw that, you know, Debbie had her stuff. I saw her as suffering. And I felt to continue loving her and to continue to give her the opportunity. That was my only reaction. Now, Zoe, I'm going to talk about you.
Well, I just
want to go ahead.
I felt rejected by her.
That's what I was going to say.
But yesterday it didn't.
Okay,
yesterday
good.
Didn't.
But what happened is when Zoe showed up, Zoe, you know, starts cooking these meals. Zoe loves to cook and then have you eat her food.
And praise it.
In fact, she'll stop in the middle of a meal and say, I don't hear any oohs and ahs, you know. You have to praise her food. But that's one way that Zoe, you know, and I'm going to say ego Zoe because it is ego, but that's okay. We love it. But that's one way that ego Zoe gives and receives what she perceives to be love is through cooking. But Debbie would not come upstairs and eat. Zoe would cook and Debbie would not come upstairs and eat. And also we did go a couple of places. I don't remember where, but we invited Debbie to go and Debbie said no. Zoe felt rejected. And I didn't even know it. But then one day we're driving and Zoe starts explaining to me that she feels rejected. And it just hit me like, oh my God, it never occurred to me to perceive that as rejection. And it was actually very helpful because then I started understanding Jasmine a little more, because Jasmine actually gets hurt by Debbie. Yeah, Jasmine actually gets hurt by Debbie, and I didn't fully understand it because I didn't share the misperception. But when Zoe explained it to me about how she felt, I thought, oh, that's what Jasmine's feeling too. Jasmine's feeling rejected. But you see, the rejection is truly just a misperception. Debbie is not rejecting anyone, and I know that. A better self, yeah. She's, yeah. But Debbie's not rejecting anyone. But my point was, the reason I told this story is it, what was that was nice for me was a confirmation that that had been healed. Because I could also remember back to a time when if I had asked a friend two or three times to go and she said no, I would have felt totally rejected, I would have held a grievance, and I would have quit asking because I couldn't have bared the continued rejection.
I healed here, though. I just want to point that out. Yesterday I cooked, and Debbie was having some, you know, definite ego issues, and she came up and she said she was going to eat earlier, the cooking, and then she saw the way I was preparing it, and then decided that she wasn't going to eat it, and she said no, my ego, and she sort of explained it, and I just did not take it as rejection. In fact, I loved her, and I didn't take it as rejection. I didn't get angry, and then later on, she cleaned everything up to, like, show me that she loved me and she wasn't rejecting me, even though I didn't feel the rejection. It was like we healed together. It was beautiful.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, there is so much love in this house. It's friggin' ridiculous. Don't you guys think?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And yeah. Oh, well, I'm going to let go of the mic now.
And none of us are normal.
I'm going to let go of the mic now, Steve. It's all yours. Thank you so much for waiting patiently.
Yeah, I actually had time to wash the chicken juice off my hands, so that was kind of interesting. Yeah, and the one thing when you're talking about before, though, is like, I remember when I was kind of on that, don't correct anybody kick, you know, and I'd be hearing from a lot of people and stuff. And then I saw David Roth. That was probably about a year before I called you. I saw David probably wasn't the second, probably the third or fourth time I saw David Hoffmeister, and he said, like, but you have to remember, if someone asks you for advice or asks you for correction and opens the door, then you're only doing what they ask to do. So there's a very, very, very strong distinction. If someone does ask you for advice or ask you for correction, you'd be remiss in not sharing with them if you have something from Holy Spirit to share them. So David made that very, very clear. He said, well, these people ask me for advice, and they ask me for help, they ask me for correction. So under those circumstances, there is no such thing as correcting without permission. If you're asked, it's very, very helpful to share whatever it is you feel like sharing at that time, because you're not correcting, you're just being helpful, because they asked for that information. But the second thing that I was going to say with me was like, no, I don't remember where it was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago now or something like that, but I had wanted to share on an earlier occasion, but it was like a half-hour time slot or an hour time slot or something like that, and there was no time to share. So I shared about how cool it was that Bill and then Dove, and I've still never found it in the Course in Miracles, whatever Bill or Dove said was in there, but it said something about the quote that I remember you, and you were arguing about it within your mind, you were arguing with it in your mind, and you were saying something like, well, they say every relationship starts out as special, and I've never found that, and I don't remember ever reading that in the Course in Miracles. It might be in somebody's mind or whatever. But then I looked at like 10 times, when I went into something without the slightest knowledge of why I was going into it, I had absolutely no idea. I was asked to call a Pathways of Light and ask for a guy's phone number, and the dozen or so things that I ever did without the slightest intention of why I was doing it with the most open mind I ever had were so helpful, you know. And then I shared that, and then I think it was about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago on a Friday afternoon, and then he said something like, well, Steve, if I would have listened to all this, if I would have came in as a admin, I would have read that of you. That was like totally off topic and it had nothing to do with what we were doing now. And then I looked and I'll do a little Cliff Nick thing here, like, oh my God, Regina thought she would have read that of me. Oh my God, what the hell? And this lasted for a total of like 30 to 45 seconds. And then it was like, oh my God, I don't care. I can't care less what Regina thinks. It doesn't matter to me. Well, I called Cam and I called like 3 other friends, like, oh my God, is this cool or what? Regina gave me a gift, and it's like, I care less what Regina says. Regina's opinion means nothing to me. This is the biggest gift I could have ever gotten, you know. And I called like five friends and said, guess what? Regina's opinion means nothing to me. I could care less what she thought. I only had any kind of a voice for like 15 to 30 to 45 seconds, and it was totally gone. And it was like, who cares what Regina thinks? I have no intention of caring what Regina thinks, you know. And then tried listening to it later, and then for some reason when I tried to pause it, it didn't come up. It wouldn't come back up. So it was another week before I decided to listen to it. And then as I listened to it, I could hear like, sound like a male voice in the background or something like that on your recording. And then all of a sudden I heard what you said. And yours sounded just like it was total discernment. You know what I mean? There was like no charging at all. It was just that it still sounded like it was an off-topic judgment, you know, even though it sounded perfectly like discernment. It was a perfect tone in your voice. And then I remember, too, something that I always liked about David Hoffmeister. He had always said, like, yeah, there's no topic that's off-topic. You know, everything is open for discussion, which I always thought from the first time I met David. I always thought that was pretty cool and stuff like that. But the biggest healing for me, if you wouldn't have said something that seemed like a big judgment, you know, and I wouldn't have that thought in my mind for, it had to last for at least 30 to 45 seconds. I thought, oh, my God, Regina's judging me. Regina's right, blah, 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 you know. And they're like, off-topic. Then I also heard that, remember, back in 2006, I think it was, I used to come on after you on a Thursday for a couple of weeks thinking that I had so much stuff I wanted to share about what Regina talked about, and I didn't feel worthy about sharing and taking Regina's time at that time. So I thought, well, I'll do it for an hour after Regina was there. So that was also that unworthiness thought that I didn't have the opportunity to share. I didn't want to take away all the time from Regina. You know, Regina's got something to say that people really want to hear, so I would go on after and see if anybody had anything to share. But I totally let go of any of that off-topic stuff, too. It was like, that was like so long ago, I could care less about any of that stuff. So to me, the biggest gift was like, I don't care. It's really, really cool. It was really, really wonderful. So thanks for letting me share. Here's the mic back. I think I got to push the talk.
Thank you, Steve. And what I'm going to do now is go back to the message so that we can finish up the message. But I do think this has been a great and lively discussion. And, you know, I can't remember, by the way, if I made a point that I meant to make a while ago or if I got lost in the story and forgot to make the point. So if I'm repeating myself, please forgive me, but then maybe it's worth it to hear twice. The point that I was making when I told the rejection story is that somebody, I think, asked me if the idea was healed, the idea that I want to be liked. Zoe asked me, I think, if that idea was healed in my mind. And I said I didn't know yet. But I'm sure I would get the opportunity to find out. This is what happens. I'm sure we all know that, is that if we practice forgiveness on something, that doesn't mean that the opportunity to believe that belief isn't going to continue to show up. So I'm certain that somebody's going to give me an opportunity to perceive myself as not liked and feel those same feelings again that I did in the email with Lisa. And that's when I will know. Lisa says, not her. She's done with that, she says. But that's when I will know whether I'm healed of it or not, because I'll know by how I feel. But if I'm not healed of it, all that means is I need to practice the forgiveness again. It's not a big deal. I just keep practicing it until it is healed, and then it will be. I mean, that's that. So I'm going to go back to the message. We only have a few minutes left, but I think that we've gotten mostly through it, I hope. Oh, no, there's a lot more. So let's see what we have here then, okay? See if we have. Maybe we can just read it. So what we have said then is again, that love cannot stop, but love is misperceived if we believe in attack. And Holy Spirit told us that in order to see love's reflection through true perception, we must be willing to let go of all perception of attack. And then he said, remember this. If you believe you have attacked or you are attacking, you're completely wrong. Isn't that good news? You're completely wrong. But you have to give the perception to Holy Spirit so that you can see differently. If you believe you are attacked, you are 100% wrong. Holy Spirit says, give the misperception to me that you may see differently. Now, the third thing that he asks us to remember in this particular series is, when you believe, you see one attacking another. And in fact, that's what was happening, if you remember the story, in this particular case. I don't remember if I thought John was attacking Gary. I don't think I personally had that opinion, to be honest. Not that I remember anyway. But that's the gist of what I was seeing in the emails I was reading is that people were saying John attacked Gary. That was the primary perception on the DU Yahoo group at the time. And so this is what Holy Spirit is addressing. Even if I think I see John attacking Gary, or I think I see Gary attacking John, like I personally don't even feel involved in the attack, it's happening over there. All right? When you believe you see one attacking another, you are believing an attack yourself. That is still an opportunity for forgiveness for me. Isn't that amazing? So if Zoe started screaming at Danielle, I can't imagine Danielle screaming at Zoe, but let's just pretend for shits and grins, and Danielle starts screaming back, right? If I perceive my two friends attacking each other, it's my forgiveness opportunity because I'm the one sitting here believing an attack.
And didn't we read in NTI today that that is just another way, and we just have to honor that whole thing as a creation of our own?
Yes, yes, we did read that paragraph today in NTI. In fact, maybe I'll go ahead and read it now, and what we'll do is we'll just finish this message next week rather than trying to rush through it. We'll have a part two.
Right.
I just need a copy of NTI. Ah, I happen to have 800 copies laying around, and one of them is right here near me. It's true, we have 800 copies, but sometimes we can't find one. So let's see. There's Acts. Let's see, we were in Acts 13, I believe. Okay, let's look. We were in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and let's see if I can find that, whether it was in 13 or 14. I remember Zoe read it, but Zoe did almost all of the reading today. She was in the mood to read. Let's see, Zoe. I might not find it, and usually if things don't jump out at me pretty quickly,
right.
I quit.
Maybe you will.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la. This is exciting, right? Here, Zoe, you want to look for it, and I'll see if I can say something a little more interesting.
Important.
I'm sitting here reading a book. Zoe's going to look for it. So again, when we go back to this last paragraph, what's really interesting, and this is a place where ego may try and trick us, because I'm sitting back. I'm not even in this attack. I see Zoe and Danielle attacking each other, and I'm thinking they have a problem. They should know better than to attack each other, right? But I'm perceiving attack. See, that's what has to be watched is my perception. So, yeah, see, Mary Ellen knows the answer there. She must know exactly what we're talking about.
Mm.
So, when you believe you see one attacking another, you are believing an attack yourself. Give this misperception to me that you may see differently. So, if all of us had the opportunity to do this history lesson differently. You know, many of us, whether we were on the DU group or not is irrelevant, many of us were around when this article came out from John and Robert and Greg. Okay, you found the paragraph, good. And we may have seen them as attacking Gary, or we may have seen Gary's response, which John published, and we may have seen John as attacking them, and we've had all these great conversations and all this great gossip and all this, boy, they shouldn't do that, they should be above that going on, and we might have missed the opportunity to see that we were the one in error. But now, if something like that ever happens again, we have a new opportunity. If there seems to be another war that breaks out between some spiritual teachers in our little circle, instead of us seeing them as attacking and just sitting back thinking we don't have a forgiveness opportunity, we can now remember this. We can remember that when you believe you see one attacking another, you are believing an attack yourself. Give this misperception to me that you may see differently. Attack is in our mind. So now I'm going to read this paragraph from Zoe. Actually, it's from NTI, but Zoe picked
Zoe,
it out.
Zoe made it.
Yep, Zoe made it. Okay, so when you are looking at the world and seeing conflict, you are looking through the eyes of illusion. During this time, illusion has been chosen by you. But you are only looking at illusion, and you are not even looking at illusion as the illusion that it is. For all illusion, this is what illusion is. Are you ready? For all illusion is the expression of freedom. And conflict is not freedom. To see conflict is to see illusion through another layer of illusion, which you have chosen to experience. To see illusion as the expression of freedom is to see illusion as it truly is. Remember, we are free to have the experience that is different from heaven. And that's all that's going on in the world. Every single thing in the world, no matter how bad it looks, is the Son of God expressing this freedom until he doesn't want to choose this particular freedom anymore. And when our mind is healed, we don't see conflict. We see the game being played. Yeah. We see the freedom. If I see conflict, then that means there's a healing opportunity for me. Now, Bill, you came over here, so I assume you want to say something. Is that true, or did you just want to be close to me?
I just want to be close to you. Okay. And say something.
We are out of time. Can you do it, say it in like a minute or less?
I can.
Okay, here you go. Here's Bill.
One of the things that that struck me when Steve was talking is an experience that I've had, and that is when I perceive myself as being attacked, I really am looking for some allies with my own story, and so the healing really takes place for me when I don't need to share my story or the perceived attack. It really, the healing takes place for me when I am willing to look at my own stuff just with myself, just. And stepping into awareness and saying, wow, I felt attacked. I'm looking at that with you, Holy Spirit. And I leave it right there. I leave it at the doorstep of my own awareness. And that's where I don't, you know, if I'm giving propaganda of the ego to my brothers and sisters to join me, I'm asking them to join my drama. I'm asking them to join my story. And so the healing is when I just accept the atonement for myself, period, right there. Thanks for letting me share. Here's the mic pack.
All right, that's it for us tonight. We'll finish up this message next Sunday night. Thank you, Dove, for the spare minute that we took. We love you all very much.
Love you.
Bye.